Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. And in this video, I'm considering the role of the United Arab Emirates in the Russo-Ukrainian conflict, and here we are almost 14 months in. So in case you didn't know, the UAE is an Arabic-speaking Muslim country in the Middle East. It's adjacent to Saudi Arabia, and it's got the Gulf on one side, Persian Gulf, Arabian Gulf. Because the Arab countries say you can't call it the Persian Gulf, which we used to in English in the late 20th century. And Iranians say you mustn't call it the Arabian Gulf. So people just say the Gulf, which isn't very helpful because there are many gulfs in the world. But anyway, this oil-rich country has built itself up into an international transport and commercial hub. It's got the Dubai International Financial Center, for example, is governed by common law. It's got judges from various very respected Anglophone jurisdictions like Australia, Canada, the USA, United Kingdom, not from the Republic of Ireland, so far as I know, but, you know, could be one of us in time. Anyway, and so for Russians and Ukrainians, people from most Soviet countries, former Soviet countries, you can go there for 30 days without a visa, go there as a tourist. And even some Kazakhs used to go for 30 days, leave, go back to Kazakhstan for a while, come back for another 30 days. I'm not sure how much you could do that. If it add up to more than 180 days a year, could you get away with it? So they've tried to launch themselves a place for tourism, for shopping, for university education with lots of foreign students, health tourism, hosting sporting events. And there is no income tax for very wealthy people to just buy houses there, all sorts of beach activities, fun things going on to watch. Circus concerts, Cirque du Soleil was there. Anyway, so the UAE is resolutely neutral. Okay, it's part of the Gulf Cooperation Council, but it's not part of a military alliance. It's in the Arab League, but that's got no military aspect. The Arab League countries have even been to war against each other, part of the organization of the Islamic Conference. But again, that's a very disparate organization. So it voted to abstain on the United Nations resolutions pertaining to Russia's illegal war of aggression against Ukraine. So the UAE's got 5 million people, but I mean, and the great majority of them, over 80% of them are foreigners. So they have all sorts of guest workers from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, the Philippines, Sri Lanka, who often do lower paid jobs. Some of them are highly paid, you know, bankers and doctors and so on. And they've got expatriates doing executive jobs who are some from South Asia or other Arab countries, but more often from Western countries like, you know, the USA, Germany, France, wherever. They've got people of all nationalities. In the last 20 years or so, people from Russia, Kazakhstan, Ukraine, and so on have moved their increasing numbers, affluent people, because the cost of living is high. There's no income tax. If you needed something for the government, that's going to cost you. But the cost of living is worth it if you're a multimillionaire, because it's still a saving on living almost anywhere else. You're guaranteed sunshine almost 365 days a year. Anyway, it's got wealthy, having diversified its economy. So the UAE is still allowing airlines from Russia like Pobeda and Aeroflot to fly there, Belarusian ones. Remember, the European Union, most other NATO countries, most other Western countries, you know, Japan, South Korea, Australia, Singapore, they all banned Russian and Belarusian airlines for hijacking a plane a couple of years ago. So although the UAE is not adjacent to Russia, and trade with Russia is a very low share of the UAE's economy, nevertheless, the UAE obviously welcomes Russia's money. They will just not ask questions about people's money. Obviously, there are no hydrocarbon links because the UAE's got oil. Okay, that's running out, but they're moving to renewable. The day the last drop of oil flows, their economy is sorted. They got that ready years ago. So they've really looked to the future. So it seeks to be a friend to all. And to minimize friction, it sometimes has a fractious relationship with Iran, with whom it shares a maritime border. So there's no question that the UAE is sovereign and can't be easily pressurized by Russia or anybody else. Emirati banks will take dirty money, and they won't ask pesky questions about where it's obtained. If someone from Afghanistan came in putting millions of dollars into account in one day, they won't ask, did this money come from Afghanistan's only export? And I'm not talking about carpets. Anyway, there's that new president of the UAE, Mohammed bin Zayed, because his father died not so long ago. Remember, the UAE is seven separate emirates, Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Ras Al Khaimah, Umm Al Quwain, Sharjah, Ajman, and I forget the seventh one. But Dubai is the biggest city, whereas Abu Dhabi is the capital of the UAE. So there's seven royal families. Emir is like a king, and emirate is like a kingdom. But the deal was that the Al Nahyan family ruling Abu Dhabi will be the head of that family will be president of the UAE, and the head of the Maktoum family, which rules Dubai, will be prime minister. And it goes like that. And between them, those two, they got like 80% of the population. The others don't really don't matter very much. And they have slightly different laws in them, but they've got one army, one air force, one navy, Emirati dirham for all of them. So it's an authoritarian state. There's little free expression permitted. They don't have a fully elected legislature. They have a partly elected, partly appointed one, and its role is solely consultative. So it's an absolute monarchy. Anyway, the UAE is not enforcing sanctions it doesn't agree with, and that's why people from Belarus, Russia, and so on, they find it easy to go there to open bank accounts. And this is an easy way to get around sanctions. Now, the UAE was supportive of some of the insurgents in Syria. Obviously, Russia is backing the Assad regime to the hilt, but nevertheless, they've managed to cooperate on other things. Another way to get around sanctions, of course, is buying and selling gold. And the UAE is a major entrepot for the gold trade. So in October last year, the Emirati president even flew to Moscow to meet President Putin. So Putin is very glad to show he's not isolated. He's got friends in the world. UAE is not exactly a friend, but it's certainly not hostile. So they're just going to extract the max. They will take your money and no questions asked. But so Putin is rather short of people who are willing to pay him a visit. So the president of the UAE was very welcome indeed. So some very wealthy Russians, they're sailing their super yachts to the UAE because obviously they can't go to almost any Mediterranean port. So wealthy Russians have been buying property for years in the United Arab Emirates, but that's a trend that really accelerated last year. They can park their cash there, they can live there, and obviously it's a major transport hub, Dubai International Airport. From there, you can fly to almost any country in the world directly. So the UAE has long been a way for sanctioned countries to evade sanctions, and this is no exception. They're making a lot of money, but this is rather exasperating for those countries which have imposed sanctions on the UAE. Are there going to be secondary sanctions? You know, that could really spook the UAE if the Dubai International Financial Center didn't have access to capital, couldn't send or receive money or something like that. And I don't think the UAE is too big to be pushed around. And Wagner, private military company, that group of mercenaries, they've also used the UAE, have been moving things in and out of their gold because, of course, they were fighting in Mozambique, the Central African Republic, Syria, Libya, Mali, and elsewhere, and obviously increasingly in Ukraine. So the United States last year, they started to pressurize the Emiratis, saying you mustn't be doing this. But there are signs United Arab Emirates is doing something to make it more difficult for Russians to move their money in and out. Some of the banks there have stopped lending money to the UAE, or they're no longer allowing banking licenses to Russian banks. The UAE knows it mustn't irk Uncle Sam too much, but there's a concomitant anxiety in the United States that they mustn't play hardball with the Emiratis too much. Or would the UAE go the other way? Will it be too friendly with Iran or China or someone like that? And as a major trade entrepreneur, as I say, the Russians, they can buy, ball bearings, machine parts, microchips, transponders, whatever it is they need from the UAE to get around Western sanctions. But obviously that's slower, that costs them more. These are called parallel imports. So there's no sign that the UAE is about to significantly shift its policy. Right. Thank you so much. Goodbye.